Morning. It's funny, but it seems like any time I end up speaking that everything just falls apart. I don't know. Maybe it should. Or maybe it's just me. Or maybe it's just the Lord showing man's inability to do anything concerning that which is of God. I had a few things on my heart. Actually, I've had several things on my heart. But one thing the Lord has just kind of been bringing to the forefront, and this has been since before Thanksgiving. And so I just kind of printed some stuff, left it. Actually, I didn't print it. I just copied and pasted and printed. And I'd like to share some of that with you all. I thought I was going to end up sharing it in a class, and I hadn't. I thought I did, but I actually didn't. But I just have a couple questions that I'll just ask concerning the scriptures, concerning our Bible, concerning what every single Christian has their hands on. Not someone's book that someone authored, not some Christian author's book, but the actual scriptures themselves, the Bible. And I know it several times I've said this before, many have said this before, and so it's not going to be anything new. It's just kind of what the Lord's been putting on my heart for some time. And I guess to refocus, I guess you could say. So here's my question. What are the scriptures? What is the Bible? What are the scriptures and what is the Bible that we have? And when I give some of these responses, just bear with me, because there was a time when I personally had thought that some of these responses were what the Bible was. Were what the scriptures are. Is the Bible our study manual on how to live on this earth? On how to deal with situations, whether good, bad, or indifferent, on this earth? And see, we can go to the scriptures trying to find answers, plural, to different things that are going on down here below on the earth. You can do that, and you can actually find an answer. Is the Bible, are the scriptures, is it our instructional manual on how to live, on how to behave, where we find everything that's contrary to Jesus? And we could name off a few: the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, and see how they interacted with others, contrasted with Christ himself, how he interacted with others. You can think of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan that Jesus himself gave. You know, here's one who was beaten, wounded by robbers, and here you have the quote unquote at the time the people of God. You've got a priest who just kind of walks by, doesn't want to get involved. Just kind of, I didn't see anything, just kind of moves on. The same thing, you have a Levite passing also. And then you have a Samaritan who were despised of the Jews. To the Jew, a Samaritan wasn't a pure Jew, he was like a half breed. They were despised. And this person was the only one who showed mercy, and compassion on one who actually helped. So is the Bible or the Scriptures our instructional manual on how to live or behave? Is the Bible our guidebook for behavior modification? And even with that parable of the Good Samaritan, we can say, oh, well, I'm not going to be like the priest or the Levite. I don't want to be like that. I want to be like the Good Samaritan. You can do that. You can see the contrast, and you can do that. Because many have. Is it our instructional manual on how to be like Jesus? On how to be able to love others or show compassion to others or help others just as Jesus did? I remember the book that I read when I was a really young believer. It's called What Would Jesus Do? And it sounds good. I mean, it is good. I mean, I do not condone mass chaos and anarchy. You know, everybody likes a well-civilized, outstanding person of the community. Right? But is that what our Scriptures are for? Is that what the Bible actually gave us the Scriptures for? Is it our tried and true book on moral laws? Some believe that would be the case. Well, this is the moral laws, our code that we need to abide by. You know, not like these savages over here, but this right here. This keeps us in line. This keeps us civilized. Is it our textbook to understanding the things, plural, of God? Or is it our roadmap to a better future? Of course, with all these, I was just thinking of things that I had thought in times past, and even after I was born again, what the Bible was for, what the Scriptures were for. Well, and I need to state this because more than anything, the Lord is bringing my heart to this right here. And I'm finding that Everything I thought, and most of what I thought of the Scriptures, was pretty much my thought. I'll explain it. The Scriptures, the Bible, is the testimony of Jesus Christ. God gives His Word. God gives the Scriptures, what we call the Bible today, as the testimony of His Son. It's like when Moses went up to the mountain. We all say, well, yes, Moses came down with the two tables of the law. And it does say that, the tables of the law. But there's also two passages in the Old Testament that say that Moses came down with the tables of testimony. And when we look at the Scriptures, whether it be the law, prophets, the historical books, we see something. But when God gave the Scriptures, He sees His Son. And He's declaring His Son. It's almost as though, and this is a bad example, but it's almost as though God the Father is beholding the face of God the Son and speaking as He beholds the face of His Son. The tables of testimony. All right? This is what Jesus said in John 5:39, verse 39 through 40. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And so he's speaking to the Jews who are searching for the things of God, T-H-I-N-G, things, yes, the things of God. One of these right here is eternal life. And Jesus says, this is speaking of me. You're looking for something of God, and you think you have found it, but it's speaking of me, and you will only find it in me. If you're searching for the things of God, they are to be found in me, says Jesus. He says the same thing to, I believe it was Philip. where Philip says, show us the Father and that's sufficient for us. That's sufficient. That's all we need. Just show us the Father. And his response is, have I not been with you so long? How long have I been with you and you have not known me? And then he goes on to say, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. Show us the Father. If it is of God, it has to be found in the person of Christ himself. If the thing is of God. And so the scriptures, they testify of Christ. And everything that we're looking for as believers, as Christians, is to be found in a person, not in a thing, but in an actual person, to come to an actual person. And that's the second part of this is verse 40. And this is how Jesus concludes it. And you will not come to me to have what you are looking for. And that is the purpose and intent of the testimony. It is literally to bring to a person. To a person. Now, as I stated in a little bit ago with the questions, can we go to the scriptures and find out, well, this is the way I should act, or this is the good way to live? Yes, we can do that. We can actually do that, because I've done this, but that's not what the scriptures are for. That's not what they're for. That's not why God gave them. God gave them as a testimony of his Son, which testimony directs the heart to come unto the person of Christ. Now, this first happens when the heart first comes unto Christ. That is the moment of new birth. The heart turns to the Lord. Christ appears in the soul where he was not before. Now, everything of God is fully present and complete in that soul because Christ is present. Everything that the soul was created for was his Son. From that moment onward, from the moment of new birth onward, the Spirit of God does not change what he does. Jesus said this, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will take that which is of mine and show it unto you. Testify of. He also said this, he will guide you. And a guide, David could probably explain this better than I could, but a guide is one who helps you along to a particular destination so you don't get lost. Without a guide, if you go off hiking into the woods, after X amount of time, you will be lost, not knowing what direction you need to be going. The Holy Spirit is our guide, and he guides, he leads, he guides, he brings unto one person, Christ himself, unto nothing less. But see, man, and see, this is the work of God. This is what God does. Man, on the other hand, we lead, we guide unto things, plural. The things of God, just like the Jews here, they were looking for eternal life in the scriptures. And they thought they found eternal life. And guess what? When they thought they found eternal life, that's probably what they were declaring to others as well. I mean, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. The mouth will always speak from whatever the heart is directed unto whatever object is before the face of the heart. Man's object is man. God's object is Christ. It requires a miracle of God for new birth. It also requires a miracle of God to know anything of this new birth, to know anything of Christ his Son. Because God does not present to our heart a thing. He presents to our heart his Son. This is always the case. We just celebrated Christmas, and I was thinking of the wise men. Oh, and several will go into debates. Well, the scriptures don't say that there were three wise men. There could have been several or two. And go into debates about these things. Well, it just says there were wise men. It doesn't matter. The purpose of that whole story is not to get caught up on how many wise men there were. The issue was this. They saw a heavenly light that led them, guided them to a person. They were not satisfied until they came to a person. And the scriptures call them magi, wise men. They stopped off, we know this, they stopped off and saw King Herod. Because King Herod wanted to see him. Hey, what's going on? King Herod, they were not impressed with a king. At least not that king. Where we would probably be impressed, they were not. Because they were being guided by this heavenly light, this thing of God that was there for all to see. It was in the skies. They came from the east. It was in the skies. All Jerusalem could have beheld it, could have searched for it, could have responded to it. The whole world could have. But the scriptures have these. And yet they continue. And how I thought about this, and it doesn't say anything like this in the scriptures, but I thought, what if when they came close to where Jesus was, what if Joseph would have stood up, gone to the door to meet them and greet them? Hello, my name's Joseph, and meet them. I mean, no parent is going to let strangers into the house where their family is. No parent would do that. Just, hey, come on in. No. Meet them. State your business, kind of. What's going on? But had they said, well, we've been following this heavenly light to bring us to this heavenly king so we can see him, so we may worship him. What if Joseph would have said, oh, well, let me tell you about Jesus. See, a few months ago, this angel spoke to me in a dream. And not only that, this angel appeared to my wife. And let me tell you all about Jesus. These men would have not been satisfied with what he was saying. If that's all there was. They would have probably heard him. And please understand, this is not in the scriptures. They probably would have heard him and said, okay, show him to us. This one whom the angels spoke of. Show him to us. Because that's why we're here. We came here to see him. To worship him. This is exactly the expectation that the scriptures, that our Bible, births in our heart. The expectation to come unto a person. If a person is not born again, Christ isn't present. All right? If a person is not born again, what good is speaking to them of anything except the necessity to receive a person? That's what's needed. Life is what's needed for one who's not born again. Life is what's needed. That has to happen. This miracle of God has to happen. And when it does happen, now what is needed? Well, man can give a list, a slew of things that is needed. Okay, now you need to. Now you need to. Now you need to. And then what is shown is the ways on how to accomplish what's needed. Like the steps. Okay, now you do this, now you do this. And you will attain. It's very sadly it's presented. You will be on this other level, you know. Now you can have fellowship with this fellowship. But see, the fellowship that every single born-again believer was brought into of God, not of man. We didn't do this. We did not learn this, is the fellowship of the Father and the Son. a fellowship that we do not maintain. And that is the fellowship we have one with another, whether we realize it or not. That's why there's the invitation of John, come, have fellowship with us, because truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Not just my fellowship, no, our fellowship, the only fellowship we have, the only basis we have of fellowship is the Father and the Son, is Christ Himself. You take Him out of the picture, there is no fellowship. There is nothing. Oh yes, but we agree with the same, you know, doctrines and teachings. No, that's not fellowship. That's not fellowship. True fellowship is, an example of it could be with a person who has known the Lord 50 plus years, speaking with another person who has just been born again, let's say a month ago. And the only thing they have in common is the same life. That's it. Maybe one is lacking understanding. Maybe one is lacking knowledge. But they have the same life, and therein is our fellowship. Therein is the only thing that connects us. Therein is the only thing that unites us, is a life. And it's not my life, it's not your life, it's not brother, sister, so-and-so's life. No, that's the one thing, and God made it so. Therefore, we can have fellowship with any believer, anyone who's born again. The basis of anything, the foundation of anything, is Christ Himself. Any other foundation is the foundation of man. And man's foundation crumbles like the Tower of Babel, trying to reach heaven and trying to keep it and hold it together, and let's all unite in this one same goal. But it's man's goal, not God's. God doesn't need to do anything to keep and unite and keep it and hold it together. No, if the foundation is Christ Himself, it will stand. Jesus said this, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not even the gates of hell, not even anything can disturb it. For nothing, not even our own carnal natural mind is greater than Christ, than greater than God. No, what God has done, no man can separate, not even our thoughts. Going on with some verses in John, actually in John, still John chapter 5, because Jesus was speaking to the Jews. This is verse 44. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And listen to what he says. This is Moses. This is the Pentateuch, the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, it's been a while, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and something else. The first five books of the Scriptures, I can pull it up and I can rattle them off. The first five books of the Scriptures, the book, you know, Moses, Numbers, that's it. Listen, this is what Jesus says, verse 46, for had you believed Moses, and they held, all Jews held and hold Moses in high esteem. They do. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. If you truly believed Moses, you would believe me. And this is why, for he wrote of me. He did not give the list of do's and don'ts. He wrote of Christ. He testified of Christ. And then Jesus goes on to say, but if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? See, they believed in the Scriptures, but they didn't believe in what Moses was actually writing. They didn't see the testimony in it. And see, even very sadly, there's a generation that's coming up that is refuting the Old Testament. I mean, like never before. They believe it's fairy tales. You know, that it's just like the Hammurabi code. Hammurabi code, a good moral way to live. That's not the Scriptures. And very sadly, believers will jump on the same argument, on the same basis, completely ignoring the purpose of the Scriptures. I can use my Bible as a doorstop, and it will work. That's not why God gave the Scriptures. Man always argues, I'll use the word argues, debates on the things of man below. If you think about it, everything has to do with man below, with the non-believers below, even amongst the Christians below. Like what I was saying, the wise men. No, no, brother, sister, no, there's not three wise men. No, they had three gifts. The Scriptures don't say three wise men. It just says wise men. Okay, you win. Where's your heart? God doesn't debate like that. He doesn't get into that. You know, it's like two dogs fighting. No, you leave them alone. They want to fight, let them fight. You don't get in the middle of that. God still is doing what He has eternally done. Direct unto Christ. Direct unto His Son. That's what God's doing. He always does that. He brings unto His Son. He leads, He guides, He directs unto a person and nothing less. Will we learn a doctrine? Yes, we will learn a doctrine. Is it about the doctrine? No, it is not about the doctrine. Will we learn a teaching? Yes, we will learn a teaching. Is it about the teaching? No, it is not about the teaching. Will you learn a message? Yes, you will learn a message. Is it about the message? No, it is about a person. But see, God can and will use a doctrine, a teaching, and this is when it serves purpose. A doctrine, a teaching, a message, you name it, a sermon, to direct in the person of His Son. In the same manner that He will use a miracle, sign, and wonder. God can use anything. For God, it's just an instrument, a tool that will serve His purpose, to direct unto a person. Right? Going on, this is John chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." That means that it requires a miracle. He goes on, "And I will raise him up at the last day." Then verse 45, and I love this. "It is written," this is still Jesus speaking, "it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God." And now he's going to define what this actually means. This is the proof, I would say, if we have actually heard the Lord or not. If we have heard the voice of God. See, God doesn't speak just to speak. No, He speaks with intent and purpose, and He speaks His word. John on the Isle of Patmos, "I heard the voice that spoke." And that voice that spoke had an intent and a purpose, and I obeyed that intent and a purpose. Not by my own ability, of course, but by the Spirit of God. Because then he goes on to say, "And I turned to see the voice. And having turned, I saw a beautiful description." And then he says, "And I saw him. I saw his beautiful testimony, and in the midst of this beautiful testimony, him." This is what God does. "And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore," this is Jesus speaking, "that hath heard and hath learned of the Father," heard and learned of God, "cometh unto me." We like to search the Scriptures. We should search the Scriptures. We should read our Bible. We should. Why? Because the Bible is the clearest and most exact testimony of Christ that there is. Oh, once again, God can speak using whatever. He spoke in several different ways before. To get your attention, the Lord will do whatever it takes to get the attention of your heart. But there is no clearer, there is no more perfect testimony than the Scriptures. So yes, we should be reading the Bible. We should be studying the Bible. We should be searching the Scriptures. And in all of our reading, in all of our studying, we should be taking all of our studies, all of our reading, presenting it to the Spirit of God so that He can use everything and anything that we have gleaned and gathered of the Scriptures for God's one intent and purpose, to direct our hearts yet once again unto Christ His Son. And here's where you find the passages like the Apostle Paul declares, set your affection on things above, where Christ sitteth. And it's not something far away, because right before that passage, he says this, seeing then, because of the fact that, because you are risen with Christ, now, set the affection of your heart where your life is truly found. And see, that's the whole difference between what man is doing and what God is doing. What man is doing is trying to bring God down into what he believes is his situation, what he believes is his world, what he believes is his life. It's like, okay, and I'll just use this as an example because it was spoken to me. I mean, I was speaking to someone and they told me this. This was like years, like 15 plus years ago, 20 years ago maybe. Noah?
It's good.
Okay. And so they said, okay, well, this is great. This is great. You know, I was sharing whatever I knew of the Lord, I was sharing with them. And they said, okay, but what about this? What about this exam I'm about to have, that I'm about to take? How's God going to help me in that? Basically, what that equates to is, how is God going to help me in what I am doing, in my thing? What is God doing? What is His thing? And we can be involved in the temporal realm, and that's what it is, the temporal natural realm that we can actually see with our eyes, hear with our ears. We can be involved in that, even though we're born again and our life is not found here. Our life is actually found in a person, Christ Himself. He is our life. He actually is our life, us who are born again. Yes, Jesus Christ is the life of every single born-again believer. We may not believe it at times, but God knows the truth. God knows the truth, whether we believe the truth or not, whether our hearts are submitted unto the truth or not. And what happens is that we're always trying to bring God down into this. The Spirit of God is always trying to direct our heart above, where our life is truly found. We just think that this is our life, what we see, and when it's not. Because what we see is actually passing away. And what we do not see is eternal and steadfast in the heavens that cannot be shaken. One of the hardest things to do is to relate to one another in Christ. If any man therefore be in Christ, a new creation. It's the hardest thing for those of us with our natural families and even our church family. That's the hardest thing to do. Why? Because everything that is contrary to the truth is staring us in the eye and not acting accordingly to what we believe the truth should be as. Right? Remember, behavior modification or whatever? I have a nephew and a niece, and all I want to do is spend time with them. And they're One of them's caught up with the social media thing. The other one's caught up with never-ending cartoons. But that's just a stage. You know, that they'll pass through that. But for us who are born again, to relate to one another after the truth, to relate to one another in truth, as God knows truth to be, as God relates to us. God does not relate to us, how shall I say it, by what we believe. No, not that one. God does not relate to us by what we believe or by what we think or by our actions or lack of actions or this or that or whatever. No, he does not relate to us that way. He relates to us in Son. He relates to us based on our life, who Christ is. Remember, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That is how God relates to us. He doesn't relate to us outside of his Son. There is no relationship outside of his Son. And yet we, at times, we will relate to one another outside of Christ. And then we have these expectations that have nothing to do with God's expectation. It's our expectation of what we believe the way things ought to be. In the book of Isaiah, this is awesome. During the time of Isaiah, Israel, in the natural, if you looked at it historically wise, Israel was going every which way, and Isaiah was frustrated with the whole situation. It was right before, it was before the captivity. It's like they're going downhill. Israel's going downhill. They're about to go into captivity. And here's Isaiah. And the Lord steps in. It's Isaiah chapter 6. We all know the passage. I saw the Lord seated upon his throne. I'm totally undone. He said, I see the Lord. I see the Lord. And then he goes on to say this, which, if he said that right now, we would all say, you're out of your mind. He says this, the whole earth is filled with his glory. At that time, the whole earth did not appear to be filled with his glory. And yet he's declaring the mind of God. He's declaring what he sees, not based upon what he sees in the natural, but what he sees based upon reality, the eternal, the truth. In the midst of everything that is seen to be contrary, how can you do that? How can you begin to relate on a different plane altogether? Seeing then you are risen with Christ, set your affection above where your life is found, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And the Spirit of the Lord is continually directing our hearts above, above, to find where our life is, Christ, the resurrection. And then Paul goes on to say, and when he who is our life, he who is our life shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. Continually directing above, out from this realm, out from this realm. I've had conversations at times, and we've probably all heard this phrase, but you don't understand, brother or sister, you don't understand. And me personally, maybe I don't understand. But what I do understand is that God did not create our souls to find our life among the dead. He created our souls to walk in the land of the living above. Above. Jesus said this, you are from beneath, I am from above. He also said this, The words I speak, they are not my words, they are my Father's. The Father in me doeth the works. Jesus found his life in his Father. The Apostle Paul later on goes on in knowing the Lord. Of course, God had to step in because the Apostle Paul is serving, quote unquote, in his mind, he is serving the Lord by wasting the church. That's man. That's what man does. The Lord steps in his mercy, does what no man can do. And then you know that the Apostle Paul was knowing the Lord because he says things like this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel, I live. Yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. He also said this. He said, I labored more abundantly than all the apostles, speaking to some church. And then he can't just say that. He has to step back. Okay, wait, hold up. Not I, but the grace of God in me. I didn't do it. If it was anything effectual in you, it was God. I did not do it. If anything of any eternal weight or value is accomplished, it's God. No man can glory. No man can take credit. But see, we all want honor of man. But the honor of God is God and Father presenting his Son. And whether we realize it or not, that's truly what we want. That is truly what we want. Right before I was born again, I thought I had it all planned out. I had my future all planned out. I thought I knew, what I wanted until I was born again. I wept like a baby, and I had never wept that way before. And several things came to my mind. One of the things was, why didn't I do this before? I couldn't have. Why couldn't I do this? Why didn't I do this? I couldn't have. And yet in receiving Christ, everything, whether I understood it fully or not, everything in my mind was, this is what it's all about. That's all I knew. This is it. This is it. And the Lord, by His Spirit, will bring us time and time again to guess what? This is it. It's really all about Jesus. This is it. This is it. This is it. We just make something else the issue because it's down here. And so then it's, okay, God helping me with this, or God doing this, or God, and God will help. Yes, He does that. He will bless. He does that. He will heal. He does that. But see, He will do miracles. He does that. But Jesus said this, speaking to one of the cities, I did all these miracles. He says like this, if the miracles that I did in your city were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah would have been here to this day. It would have remained. It wouldn't have been destroyed if the same miracles were done there that were done here. And yet he goes on to say in that passage, I did all this, and you did not repent. And that was the whole purpose of the miracles, signs and wonders that the Lord was doing. Repent. But what is repentance? Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry for doing something wrong. That's not repentance. You should do that. You should. We should confess to the Lord when we get off and, go off into la la land. Lord, forgive me for this. But listen, forgive me for this. That's not my life. Because you don't say that's my life. You don't say that those actions are my life. So now, Lord, show me my life. And when the heart turns to the Lord, that's repentance. When the heart turns to the Lord, that's repentance, because you have turned unto and turned from. But it's not from things. It's always unto the Lord Himself. It's always unto Christ Himself. If we stop doing bad things and start doing good things and your heart is never turned to the Lord, it's still below. Several of us have heard this phrase by T. Austin Sparks, and I can't even remember what book it was from, but I read it. It says, deliverance without deliverance. But what is that? That is the heart turning above and being wherein we are. Have you ever heard of the phrase, be where ye be? Maybe, maybe not, I made it up. But we are always being where we are not, wherein our life is not found. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Gentiles, he said, you know, even your poets, they said this, for it is in him we live and move and have our being. And of course, the Gentiles had their understanding of their saying. The Apostle Paul had God's understanding. Because it is in Christ and only in Christ wherein we truly live, we truly move, and we truly have our being. Because that is wherein our life is found, a person, not apart from him, not apart from him. When our hearts are directed unto the Lord in such a manner, as Isaiah, beholding the only one there is to behold, then you need not behavior modification. Because we're finding our life. And it's not about what our life does or doesn't do. It's about knowing our life. Regardless of the automatics out from that knowing. We run after automatics. The Lord wants us to run after Christ, His Son. And it's always in a new way, always in a new way. It's so funny, this is, we're going into a new year. But what the Lord's kind of put on my own heart was this, to allow the Spirit of God to direct the heart unto Christ above. To walk in the land of the living as never before. To know our life as never before. And it's always new when it's of God. It's always, you've not gone this way before. You're not familiar with this if it's of God. Because our familiarity, we turn into a doctrine or a teaching and we got it down, we got it pat. We can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Well, if it's of God, you can't do it. You're just left with the mercy of God, with what He can do, hoping and trusting in the Lord and the Lord alone, which is truly the only hope we should have, the only expectation we should have. So that was just some of the things that were on my heart. It's just the Lord directing the heart above. Above as never before. Above as never before. And automatically we will relate to one another after the truth. And see, that's so hard to do. That's so hard to do when everything that is contrary is right before your natural eyes. And yet the greater is always present and does not change. More real than what we see with our natural eye. More real than what we even comprehend or understand. But God knows the truth. He knows His Son. And He would have us to know the truth, to know His Son as well. And the Spirit of God does not change His intent and His purpose. If the thing is of God, it is purposed and designed of God, without doubt, to direct under the person of Christ and bring under the person of Christ to nothing less. So, even with what I've said, everything with what I've shared, present it to the Lord so He can accomplish His will in our hearts. But for all times, not just right now, but for all times with everything. So, Lord bless you all. Amen. Thank you.